I'm so glad to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you make. You can follow me at facebook.com/Clark Howard. And coming up just a few minutes in today's Clarkrageous Moment. Wow. Yet a strong incentive is being offered up right now for you not to use a debit card anymore. When you hear what I have to say, you will finally accept what I've always called them, the piece of trash, fake Visa, fake MasterCard. Debit cards, kick them to the curb. And coming up yet later, I want to talk about how some people are dealing with the massive increase in the cost of auto insurance that's occurring all over the country. Do I have a weird thing to share with you? So, Wells Fargo, as you know, I have viciously attacked them now for years, and their public reputation is in tatters because of one criminal conspiracy after another against their own customers. Fake accounts, cheating people on auto insurance, cheating people on mortgages, cheating people on investments. I mean, it's been just atrocious how many things have been rotten to the core at Wells Fargo. Well, here's something I would not have pictured. But the Wall Street Journal reports that Bank of America and Chase have been specifically targeting Wells Fargo because their public reputation is so poor, and they're opening branches up right next to or across from Wells Fargo branches, and the customers they're obtaining, in they're going into new markets even, and the customers they're getting are from Wells Fargo. They're not getting their customers from other banks or credit unions or whatever. The lion's share of the new business that Chase and Bank of America are getting is from Wells Fargo. So they're going from one of the four giant monster mega banks to two other of the giant monster mega banks, of which there are four giant monster mega banks, the last one being Citibank, and moving their business from one monster to another. Okay, you know what's missing from this picture? And more than half of people in the United States now have their principal banking relationship with one of the four giant monster mega banks, which means you're spending a lot of money to do business with one of them, or foregoing a lot of money you could earn by doing business with one of them. The answer to the scandals at Wells Fargo is not to go to Chase or Bank of America. The answer is to go to an online bank, or go to a credit union, or a small local bank, not just from Tweedledee to Tweedledum. Just my thought. You know, you go to the online banks, and feeing you to death is not part of their DNA. Much better rates on savings, free checking. They're not about the gotcha. And of course, credit unions, you go to one of them, you own the place. So they're there to serve you. Just consider it. Alexis is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Alexis. How are you?
As compared to what? I always, that's my favorite retort.
Is everything great in your life, though?
Oh, I can't complain. If I do, who's going to listen to me anyway?
Oh, I would listen to you.
I know you would. Well, this is it. I am interested in buying a 2018 Nissan Leaf SL. What information, advice do I need to know to get the lowest price from a dealer? It can or does not have to be a trade-in, and it will be a cash sale unless they offer a phenomenal 0% APA, unless you can talk me out of that.
Okay, so don't ever tell a car dealer that you're going to pay cash for a car.
Okay.
Never bring that up till after you've made your deal on a car and or with it a trade-in.
Okay.
And whether you are buying a 2018 Nissan Leaf or anything else, I want you, before you would proceed with buying the car, to do some homework. And since you're in a position to be a cash buyer, the homework's easier. But I'd like you first to go find out what the vehicle is worth in the marketplace that you're thinking you might trade in. And the easiest way to do that is, do you live in a city that has CarMax?
I live close by to one.
Oh, you can go to a CarMax and they'll give you a price right on the spot that's good for a week on your vehicle, because they are always looking for vehicles to put on their lot. And they'll give you a price they guarantee to you for that 1 week period. What that does is that gives you a marker price that you know is the least you would want to accept for the vehicle that you might consider trading in at a dealer.
Okay.
Because you never know at a dealer when they say, oh, we're going to give you blah, blah, blah for your trade-in. And it may be a terrible price, but you already have a sense, you already have it in your back pocket, what that vehicle would be worth in the market. All right, next thing, I want you to shop for that Nissan Leaf in the new modern ways. Are you a member of Costco Wholesale or Sam's Club?
Costco.
So Costco is now, if they were a car dealer, would be the largest car dealer in the United States. Have you ever noticed when you leave the warehouse, right where they check your receipt, that they have all those shiny brochures for different things?
Yes.
One of them is for their car buying program. And the Costco car buying program is something Costco makes no money from. It's just like something they do as part of the membership. But they have such volume of customers that dealers want to be in their program. And so without any games, gimmicks, anything, you'll be able to contact the Costco dealer for Nissan in your area, and they will give you the price without any negotiation they would sell you a 2018 Leaf for.
Okay.
You also can compare it to a price you can get online from TrueCar.com.
I went there, and I actually got a bid, and I went to that dealership, and it was called Switch and Bait.
Bait and Switch at that dealer? Have you told TrueCar that you had a bait and switch at one of their dealers?
I texted them and I did tell them that.
Okay, that's important, because if a dealer is playing dirty with TrueCar, they're not as fierce with a dealer as Costco would be. But if they get complaints that a dealer isn't honoring the TrueCar prices, they're going to toss them out.
I mean, we're talking $4,000.
Yeah, so they were playing dirty.
Yes.
But these car buying programs eliminate so much hassle. There's one more thing you can do, Alexis, if you are willing to spend the time. Email the Nissan dealers' internet sales department, you'll see it on their websites, for a quote on the 2018 Leaf exactly as you'd like it equipped.
Okay.
And that is a way that you can get a decent price on the car. And as you found out with the dealer that played bait and switch, anybody does stuff like that, there are plenty of fish in the sea. You just turn around and you leave that place that plays dirty. Joe joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Joe. You got a Chromebook, huh?
Yeah, I did. I'm a regular listener. I walk with the podcast in the morning, and you've mentioned it several times, and I went ahead and picked one up. I got a bargain on it, a rehab off the internet, $94, and I did it for the financial things that I need to do, you know, a brokerage, the bank, online banking. And in one of the podcasts listening to you, you mentioned just online banking, and my hope was that it would make me more secure with all sorts of financial things.
It's especially valuable for the brokerage, because the greatest risk that we face is that a criminal get into our brokerage account, retirement account, or mutual fund account, because banks only have less than 10% of people's money now. Over 90% is in these other places. And that's why doing visiting your brokerage on the Chromebook is the highest priority. And if I failed to say that in the podcast you were listening to, I didn't do my job.
Yeah, it was February 12th, and I listened a couple of times. And walking, I can't take notes. That's the one disadvantage. And so I searched for it and found it and said, I'm going to call Clark and just to ask him that.
Well, I appreciate that. So I call it the three B's is the basics for using a Chromebook is banking, brokerage, bill pay.
Very good.
And I have, as a result of so many questions people have asked about cordoning off the finances in your life, we have a guide now on Clark.com on how to set up a financial Chromebook.
Excellent. That's what I need exactly. Because I was going to ask you a couple related type questions on that. One thing I did hear on one of your podcasts was that searching is what you don't do. Internet searching. Do not.
Yeah, no searching, no social media, no email. You only use the financial Chromebook for the financial things that we've discussed.
Okay, one last question then, Clark. Something else you said is get printed statements. Actually, you said paper statements when I heard it from the banks and brokerages and so forth. In case there's ever a discrepancy, you can go to those paper. Can that paper include printing it from the Chromebook, from your accounts that you have on the Chromebook, printing out the statements?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, if you have a printer hooked up to the Chromebook, you absolutely can do that.
Very good. Very good.
So those are great questions, Joe. And do you have any suggestions for me about our podcast as an obviously very avid podcast listener?
Wish it was longer. It used to be. It seems it's 33 minutes or so, and I like to go for about 45 minutes. So I listen to two of them.
Well, you can dial down the speed and hear me speak even more slowly, and then it would last the 45 minutes.
Very good. There you go.
Well, I'm glad you're getting so much exercise, Joe, and I'm glad that you enjoy the podcast. Today's Clark Regis moment is an expansion on something I've shared with you for years. That is the danger of you using a piece of trash, fake Visa, fake MasterCard, a debit card for day-to-day purchasing.
Scams, rip-offs, outrages. It's a Clark Regis moment.
So a new report from the folks at FICO who do the credit reporting found that debit cards are now so often to be used in fraudulent transactions that the number of fraudulent transactions jumped 70% in a year, according to FICO, 70. And with the debit card, that's the one with the Visa or MasterCard logo tied into your checking account, you don't have the normal consumer protections that you have with a credit card. Inquiring minds might want to know why. You don't have those protections because the banks in the era credit cards came into prominence in the 60s, the banks didn't own Washington, and the U.S. Congress passed a layer of consumer protections, but the debit card didn't come into prominence till about 25 years ago when it first started appearing. But by that point, the banks owned your congressmen or senators, so they did not put in place any meaningful consumer protections for debit cards. So you're extra exposed, and the fraudsters are targeting them far more than credit cards, and the chance of fraud up 70% in a year. So that's why if you need to use a debit card, who needs to use a debit card instead of a credit card? If you know that you will spend money you shouldn't spend with a credit card, and that's why you carry a debit card. Credit cards have been a real problem for you in the past, or for whatever reason you can't qualify for a credit card and you carry a debit card. But if that's, for whatever reason, how you live your life with a debit card, please follow my backup position, which is have a second account that you use, maybe with one of the online banks, that you only fund with the money that you need for walking around using a debit card, so that your main money in your bank account or credit union account is not at risk because of this huge increase in fraud. And what happens is the money disappears from your checking account. You then have to go fight with your own bank to get your own money back after a fraudster ran off with it. That's why they are the piece of trash, fake Visa or fake MasterCard. And that's not even getting in to the protections you don't have with a debit card if you shop online and the merchandise doesn't come or doesn't come as represented. Credit card, you have blanket protection for that with a little bit of Swiss cheese holes in it. With a debit card, you got none. Hey, Joel, let's try to sneak in and ask Clark here.
All right, Clark. Jim wrote in and said, Clark, my wife recently passed away.
I'm so sorry.
He wants to know, should I do something with the credit card companies and credit bureaus to ensure her credit and identity is protected?
Oh, I'm really sorry you've lost your wife. As far as this, it's known as ghosting among criminals when they specifically target people who have passed away following the obits. And it happens a fair amount, but there's not a lot for you to do. There's not a procedure specifically for that. And you're not liable for anything that might happen with ghosting. So I would say of the things for you to worry about right now, that is not one of them. And again, I'm really sorry about your loss. So glad you've taken time out of your day to join us here on the Clark Howard Show, where you learn to save more and spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off. I am amazed as I scan news from around the country how many stories are running right now on TV in particular about the massive increases in auto insurance premiums that are happening state by state all over the country. And there are a number of factors. Mainly, if you want to know whose fault it is, it's us. Distracted driving, almost certainly, with people not looking at the road. It was funny, I was in California a few days ago where there are strict rules about being on your phone while you're driving. And at red lights, I'd notice continually people weren't going when the light turned green because they were looking down and texting on their phone and looking down and keeping the phone really down low so that a police officer wouldn't see them doing it, as I assume. And then something that's getting worse and worse is people texting while they're on a freeway. Now, think about that you're covering the distance of a football field and, gosh, every couple of seconds, driving freeway speed, and you're looking at the phone instead of looking at the road. No wonder there are so many more people injured and killed in accidents now than even just 3 years ago. So, as goes to follow, the if-then, auto insurance premiums going crazy. But there's something popping up in more and more states now. Not everywhere yet, but you are going to see this be most anywhere in the country except states that are extremely rural, where you're going to be able to buy auto insurance by the mile. And I talked, I don't know how many years ago, it started as a test by a company called Metro Mile that sells by the mile insurance in about 8 states now. That this idea of charging you basically a per mile fee is so much better an idea because there are lots of people who drive very few miles and would benefit potentially mightily because the savings could be so large to you if you're someone who drives, I know this is shocking to the average driver who drives 12 to 15,000 miles a year, but there are a lot of people who drive 2,000 to 5,000 miles a year, and they're paying almost the identical premium as you are driving 12 to 15,000 miles a year. They're not on the road nearly as much, so there's a much lower possibility mathematically of being in an accident. And therefore, the idea of paying by the mile, I love that. And I think that's how auto insurance should go. But a lot of people are freaked out about it because the insurer has to put a device on your vehicle to know what you're actually driving, or you have to go somewhere every so often for them to look at your odometer to make sure you're really driving the miles you say you are. But more often it would be a device in the car that would report how many miles you're driving and then in turn your premium. And stop texting while you drive. That's you. That's you I'm talking about. Lee is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Clark, thank you so much for taking my call. As far as I'm concerned, you and your staff walk on water.
Wow. Well, that is very sweet of you to say.
I also...
I would say my staff walks on water. I just drown.
I also listen to your podcast while I walk and talk about you every chance I get.
Well, thank you.
Sure. My husband and I have a couple of tenants, actually five tenants, that we collect direct instead of having the management collect the rents. And we asked them to pay directly, now asking to pay with an app or direct deposit. We were wondering if you have a suggestion. We were using Venmo.
Venmo, yeah, which you're not really supposed to use to collect rent.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because?
Venmo is designed in their terms of service, say that it's for paying person to person, not person to business. And so it's supposed to be like friends out going, let's say they go to a restaurant, and it's supposed to be one of them pays the bill, the others reimburse their part with Venmo.
Oh, okay.
So I know people use Venmo the way you're describing, but that's not really its design. But there is something like it that's designed just for landlords and tenants.
Mm.
And I haven't talked about it in probably 6 months or more, called Cozy, C-O-Z-Y.
Okay.
And it's not a .com, it's a .co. But if you go to cozy.co, you'll see that it really solves this problem for landlords.
It's an app or a website?
It's a website, and it allows you to set up where money is automatically directly deposited from your tenants into your account that you collect rents at.
I see. And I suppose it's very private and safe and easy to use?
Well, let's hope it is, because it's been around for a while, and it's completely free for you, and it solves the problem of you having to get a check and then deal with depositing it and all that, and you have instant availability of funds with the way the money's deposited to you.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people the thought line of what you talked about using Venmo, a lot of landlords use Square Cash and have tenants pay them by Square Cash. But again, with Square Cash, their system is not supposed to be used for that way, but routinely landlords use it for that purpose.
I see.
But if you wanted one that was specifically designed with you in mind as a landlord collecting rents, Cozy is it.
Cozy.co.
That's right. COZY.co.
Thank you again, Clark.
Sure. I hope it works perfectly for you. Ginger joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Ginger, you've got something pretty distressing to share with me, don't you?
Hi, Clark. Yes, I do.
What's going on, Ginger?
Well, I've been using this online app to purchase products for a few years now.
Oh, go ahead and name them.
Oh, okay. So it's Wish. And I actually heard about the app from your show a few years ago and started using it. But recently, within the past few months, they've started to sell some very adult-type items.
Oh, and, well, actually, you just missed in the past. They've been selling those kind of items for years. And let me first explain to people what Wish is, who may not have heard about it. Wish is an ultra-cheap seller of goods, most of which come from China after a delay of you finding it takes a month for the items to get to you. Is that about what you're usually seeing?
At first, but, I mean, recently I've been getting stuff as quick as 2 weeks.
Okay. And they sell things at prices that are like, it couldn't possibly be that cheap.
Right.
And sometimes the stuff comes and it's junk. And other times it comes in, it's a screaming deal.
Correct.
But what you have seen now is something that has been there kind of lurking on the surface for a long time. And without getting too graphic, what kind of stuff are you seeing that's a problem?
Well, it's very adult type toys, if you will, for... Not the younger eye to see, basically.
Got it.
Yeah. And it's very disappointing because it's been showing up, on the main page, maybe, the first page you click with the newest items. And my children, and specifically my 11-year-old daughter, goes on the app and looks all the time. And
oh, boy.
I've, been seeing this stuff. And, so I sent them a note and said, can you make a tab at the top or something that only, for that type of stuff. And, their response was basically no.
So what that means is they don't care.
Exactly.
And you may have to choose not to shop at Wish anymore. You definitely will need to keep your 11-year-old away because there's a lot of, you mentioned toys. There's a lot of clothing that you don't want an 11-year-old girl see.
True.
That's for sale on Wish. Have you ever looked at AliExpress as an alternative?
No.
I think you're going to find that AliExpress, which is a competitor of Wish, you're going to find it more PG, let's say.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. And I just want to get the word out there, basically. And... let people know that myself, I'm boycotting it, and any chance I get, I'll tell somebody to boycott. I just don't think it's appropriate.
Well, and Wish is a big enough business now that they should have the good sense to offer a child-friendly site. I mean, they got so much stuff. They've got Geek as a companion site, which is all electronics. And having like Wish for Kids or something like that would be, I think, a very smart move on their part. Because look at it now, you're just not even going to, as a regular dedicated Wish shopper, you're done with them.
Yes, I have deleted the app. And as a matter of fact, a Facebook friend liked the Wish app last night. And I commented on that and said, don't like Wish. It's not a good company.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And we may hear from them. And if they have a strategy to deal with this, I'd love it. Because when you look at their list of prohibited items, the things that we're talking about are not prohibited at all. It's a big part of what they actually sell. Lynn is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Lynn.
Hello.
Lynn, you are not going through a fun episode in your life, are you?
No, I'm not.
Well, I am so sorry. What has happened?
Last week, I came home from work and discovered I had two letters in the mail that told me that I opened an account online and congratulated me, and the other one said that I had applied for a personal loan with a bank that's how I discovered that my identity had been stolen and somebody was using my Social Security.
I am so, so sorry. Let me go through some of the things you need to do instead of asking you what you've done. First thing first, you need to go file a police report.
Yep, I did. Actually, I had, I had a whole bunch of, you know, family members giving me advice, but I did go on your website and I looked at what you list to do. So that was very helpful. And I did file a police report. I did file with the FTC.
Great.
I called Social Security. I did a report online with them, and I contacted all three of the credit agencies, the reporting agencies, and froze my credit.
Wow.
Yes. So I was.
All right. You're very proactive. Have you been able to figure out, the credit bureau should have supplied you with free copies of all three of your credit reports?
Yeah, I mean, I can get them. I do have one that I printed. I have another one that I downloaded to a disk. And yeah, they did. They did allow me to get my credit report so that I could see what it looked like before all this started happening.
And are there, well, actually, it should show the inquiries, you know, in the inquiry section.
Yes. Yep. And there, and when I, it's funny because I had ran it 2 days prior to this all happening because I try to keep up with my credit report and my credit score. And nothing was out of the ordinary. Nothing at all. My credit report was exactly how I would have thought it looked. It was nothing that I said, oh, I didn't do that. So then all of a sudden, within a couple of days, it just went. It went crazy.
And how much did your credit score drop in those couple of days?
It dropped about 50. I think it was about, well, actually 60 points. It dropped about 60 points in like a few days.
All right. So you mentioned the two things, the personal loan and the new application for credit, that sounds like there might be two more lingering out there.
Yeah, the same credit card company that I first, when I first found out, there was a credit card company, and then whoever has my social did it again like 3 days later. They applied for the same credit card with the same credit card company, and fortunately everything was frozen. My social was frozen, so they contacted me right away. Then the same day, they applied for a student loan in another state, $25,000 student loan. I got a phone call from that company saying, did you apply for this loan? I said, no.
Oh, thank goodness.
And meanwhile, all these companies that are contacting me are saying they have information on this person. And that was what got me to inquire to you, because they have information and they have either an address that this person's trying to get stuff mailed to, or they have, you know, an email or a phone number. And the other day it was a license number that wasn't my license number.
No.
So I've been calling the police department and saying, hey, you know, this company has this information. And they said, if you want it, you can contact them. And, you know, maybe the driver's license number is invalid. But
so you have to have, what you have to have is you have to have the good luck, because the financial institutions aren't going to care. They're not going to do anything. It's just next.
Right.
So it requires a police detective who has a real interest in identity theft cases with the trail you've been able to put together. And I've found in the past that if you find that person and you can hand them the information on a silver platter of the perpetrator, that is when you will have a greater likelihood of getting results and getting that person locked up.
Right. And that was kind of where I went, where I was going with my question is, you know, in, to me, and I know I'm not the only one, I feel like, you know, I'm a victim, obviously, but I feel like who's helping me? Like, what is out there for me to do other than continuously get phone calls and continuously call the police department back? Hey, you know, such and such a company has another piece of information.
It's just going to frustrate you if you just call in. You need to have a detective and ask, is there a detective who specializes in identity theft cases? And you need to get with him or her, because they're the ones that would be motivated as you get more and more pieces of the puzzle, that they've got somebody they can go after and arrest. And I love your motivation. You've done everything right. And you're going to limit likely the damage you're going to suffer.
And
I love your motivation that you want to prevent it from happening to other people. And I think that's great. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast of our show, I'd love it if you'd subscribe. Whatever your favorite podcast app is, we're pretty much there. And whether you love what you hear from me or hate it, take time to write a review. It's how we all learn from each other, is from those reviews.